Hello and welcome to an extended edition of the Risk Map podcast as we cast our glance further than usual and take in the coming 12 months of the new year, 2016. I'm Michael Moran, Managing Director of Global Risk Analysis in New York.
And I'm Charles Hecker, Control Risks Global Research Director in London and the Chief Editor of our Global Business Risk Forecasting Report, Risk Map 2016.
Well, it's often the case in our annual forecasting edition that we're tempted to bid good riddance to some of the trends that bedeviled global business in the previous 12 months. And while some will be very happy to see the back of Argentina's Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, whose Peronists lost a November vote to extend their tenure, the sad reality is that many of the most difficult problems will carry on in 2016. They include terrorism spawned by Syria's civil war, the refugee crisis flowing from it, and rising populism in the United States and Europe. Also making the transition to the new year are tensions between Russia and the West, an escalating concern about cyber attacks, friction in the South and East China Seas, and the slowdown in growth in China and much of the rest of the emerging markets.
Mike, the commodities-induced slowdown afflicting many of the emerging market economies has gone from a constraint to a real threat to stability in some places. Low global commodity prices, from minerals to food to oil, are a mixed bag, of course, and many of the world's largest economy, dependent as they are on oil imports, have received an important boost from oil prices that are now more than 65% below their 2013 peak. But others, including Russia, Brazil, Mexico, Colombia, Nigeria, and Venezuela, are suffering from a kind of financial withdrawal. You wrote our commodities outlook this year, Mike. Will commodity prices come to the rescue in 2016? And if not, what's the fallout?
Well, they won't come to the rescue, but I think the story here is that since the turn of the century, we have been in what most people have referred to as the commodities super cycle, the rise of China and other developing nations and their appetite suddenly for energy has, and energy and raw materials of all sorts, has been a boon to commodity producers. That has been put on pause, I think, is our message, as an oversupply, partly due to the slowdown in the emerging markets, certainly in China, but also due to the way China stockpiled things over the years, and of course the appearance suddenly of enormous new amounts of oil in the United States due to the shale fracking revolution, that has all absolutely flooded the markets with commodities. It's going to take a while for this to work its way through global inventories. We think it's going to take most of 2016 at least, but we don't think it's the end of the road for the commodities supercycle. I think these economies eventually grow again. The U.S. is already there. Europe is looking a bit better, and you'll see the BRICS will recover. So I think this is going to happen eventually. The big question is, can countries that are so dependent on these very high prices and which unwisely borrowed in dollar denominations and are now having to pay that back in their own devalued currencies, can they survive it during the next year? That's going to cause instability and risk all over the globe.
Mike, thanks for that. I definitely encourage anybody who wants to understand the impact of the commodity supercycle on geopolitics to have a look at your article in the Risk Map website.
Well, Chuck, China's slowdown is more cause than a result of the global commodities glut. With the country embarked on a long march toward a new consumer-driven business model, there's no guarantee that China's growth trajectory that used to be in the 10% and more neighborhood for decades will return anytime soon. Andrew Gilholm, the senior analyst for China here at Control Risks, co-wrote a piece with economist Louis Cohis of our joint venture partners, Oxford Economics, called Planning for a 6% China.
Yeah, Mike, that's a really well-timed article, as it turns out, because as we record this podcast, global markets are in turmoil after the Shanghai stock market was paralyzed for the second time since the start of New Year trading, when so-called circuit breakers were tripped by a 7% drop in the benchmark CSI 300 index. It points to what happens these days when China sneezes, and it genuinely seems that the rest of the world starts to get flu symptoms. What we're trying to set out in our piece about the Chinese economy are a few things. And first of all, that is that nobody should be surprised anymore about the news coming out of China that the economy is slowing. As you pointed out, this has been going on for several years, and there's absolutely no reason to expect that China is going to return to double-digit growth anywhere in the immediate future. At the same time, however, what we're saying is that there's also no reason to expect predict a crash in China. What we're looking for is how effectively China's stewards of the economy can choose a conservative, middle-of-the-road path. There will certainly be bumps along the way, and the economy will go up and down within reasonable brackets in the near future. We have a genuine level of confidence in the economic leadership and in the policy leadership of China, and we feel that they can cope with the challenge to them, and that as they tap on the brakes, they should be able to prevent the economy from going into a major skid.
Thanks, Chuck. Well, as fate would have it, there's one giant economy that's chugging along much closer to its potential. That's the United States. Solid, if unspectacular, growth here, really. Our Oxford Economics partners forecast just under 3% for this year. That's actually decently robust for an advanced economy, especially the largest one in the world. It'll spill over into the rest of the world with good benefits.
But Mike, it's really politics, not economics, that's going to dominate the coming year in the United States, right? I mean, the U.S. is in the throes of what appears to be a particularly vituperative general election, with the first primaries coming up this month in January and the big vote in early November. Mike, where is this going, and what should the business community be looking at, and what should we expect from U.S. foreign policy?
Well, right now what we're seeing is a Republican Party primary that has been dominated by populists, the kind of establishment candidates, the candidates that would be more the center-right side of the spectrum, have really fared quite poorly, with the possible exception of a senator from Florida named Marco Rubio. The rest of the candidates, though, Donald Trump and others, really talk in terms that are programmed to animate the anti-government right. Now, that's working very well in some of the primaries. It may not produce in the general election a candidate who can take on what is clearly becoming the front runner, Hillary Clinton. Now, we had to, you know, being forecasters, we have to call these things long ago. And we've been saying since about August of 2013 that Hillary Clinton is the most likely next president of the United States. We do not believe that there's any reason to change that. She certainly has faced some interesting populist challenges from Senator Bernie Sanders, a self-described democratic socialist on the Democratic side, but he's not going to win the nomination. Hillary's going to win the nomination. She is looking like she is going to be her main challenge will be to move a bit more to the center, but she's got a lot going for her in terms of money, in terms of name recognition. There is 37 or 38% of the U.S. electorate who would never vote for Hillary Clinton, but 38 to 37% is not what she needs. She needs the rest of them, and I think she's going to probably manage to pull that off in November. So what does a Hillary Clinton administration portend for business? I think it's more of the same in terms of what you've seen from Obama. The Congress, it's quite possible that the Senate could go Democratic this year. But even if the Senate goes Democratic, the House will remain fervently Republican. It only takes one House in Congress, given the current partisan atmosphere, to block progress on legislation. And so we'll probably see Hillary Clinton continue the practice of using executive authority to extend environmental and health regulations. And we'll have a fairly stable and continuous transition in terms of fiscal policy, nothing radically different. And I don't believe you'll see any progress on the big issues, immigration reform, tax reform, corporate tax reform, because of the gridlock in Congress.
Mike, thanks for that.
Well, now we'll look at the European Union, where many of the greatest risks to business and political stability in 2016, terrorism, populism, economic sclerosis, and currency risk, have intersected to weigh heavily on the so-called European project. The next year brings a smorgasbord of challenges to Europe and its national governments, not least of which is the question of whether the basic principles of EU membership, open internal borders, tariff-free trade between member states, and a common currency, can survive. Just this week, we saw Sweden and Denmark step up border controls. Chuck, where does this end?
Yeah, Mike, thanks for that. I mean, you're absolutely right to call this a smorgasbord of challenges, or maybe a smorgasbord of challenges, because we do start in Scandinavia. And we had the reinstitution of border checks between Sweden and Denmark and between Denmark and Germany just this week. And we think that One of the central pressure points in the European Union is the Schengen Agreement, an accord that allows the free transfer of just about anything you can imagine across most of the members of the European Union and some countries that aren't in the European Union, including, for example, Norway. And you're absolutely right to point out that open borders is one of the fundamental building blocks of the Union itself. But what we're seeing now with the gradual reinstitution of what are called temporary border controls all around the EU is a gradual eroding of this freedom of movement. And it's not just about driving your car or taking a train across a border. This is about supply chain. This is about the movement of goods and trucks carrying cargo from one end of the European Union to the other. We're already seeing significant delays and costs being incurred as people and goods try to travel between Sweden and Denmark. And we're concerned that there'll be a piecemeal hacking away at the freedoms that all of us enjoy in crossing the borders in the European Union. Our Europe analyst, David Lee, does not think that Schengen will come completely apart and somehow be invalidated, but we're looking at the piecemeal temporary suspension of some of these border freedoms. The European Union is the world's largest trading bloc, and any sort of threat like this is borderline existential. The other thing that we're looking at naturally very closely from here in London is the threat of Brexit. And this year may bring us a referendum in the United Kingdom about leaving the European Union, which would shake the Union to its core. We are not in a position yet to tell you where we think the UK is going to come down on this referendum, but what we see in the run-up to the referendum is a period of increased instability in the eyes of the international investment community. So we'll be keeping a close lookout on this issue and all of the other pressure points across the European Union for the year to come.
Well, there's a great deal more to talk about, and all of it is covered in depth in our 2016 Risk Map report, which can be downloaded on the Control Risks website. For now, that's a wrap for this special edition of the Risk Map podcast produced by Control Risks, the international business risk consultancy. This podcast is produced every other Friday and can be found on iTunes, Podbean, or the Control Risks website, www.controlrisks.com. In New York, this is Michael Moran saying goodbye.
And in London, I'm Charles Hecker. So long for now, and have a happy and prosperous start to 2016.